In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to the 28th weekend of Ordinary Time. Today we are delighted to welcome a special couple who have been married for 100 years. Feels that way, right? 50 for him and 50 for her, so that's 100 years. Please join me in welcoming Mr. and Mrs. Sandoval in their celebration. And those are all other Sandovals behind them. They're gathered tonight to support them. Raise your hands if you are. Very good. Thanks for being here. After Mass, we will go down to the Trinity Chapel, the family and I, and they're going to renew their vows for a second 100 years. So we'll get you going on the right foot. Thanks for being here and congratulations. I brought you a story. I usually don't tell stories at this Mass, but I think it's okay to tell it. One Sunday, the pastor was finishing a series on marriage. At the end of the service, he was giving out little wooden crosses to married couples. He said, place the cross in a room where you fight the least, where you have little difficulties. Well, when he got done passing him out, a woman came up after the service and said, pastor, is there any way you can give me 5 or 6 of those? Huh? It shouldn't be that tough, should it? Our readings today, we've heard before, and we almost have them memorized, and yet there's so many meanings hidden behind it. The first reading from Solomon praises wisdom as more valuable than power or riches. The psalm considers the preciousness of our time, how valuable it is, and we must use it on this earth to support us for the next stage of our lives. The passage from the letter to the Hebrews makes the focus on God's word and how important that is. In the gospel, we are asked to do more than just be good. Jesus asks that we provide support for one another. The passage begins with the story of a man who is attached to his wealth and continues with Jesus warning against false sense of security, what wealth can create that isn't good for us. James Kellen tells a story that kind of encapsulates the readings for tonight. He said, years ago, a young door-to-door book salesman was assigned a rural area. One day he came upon a farmer who was sitting in a rocking chair on his front porch. The young man went up to the farmer enthusiastically and said, sir, I have a book here that will tell you how to farm 10 times better than you are right now. The farmer didn't bother to look up. He just kept on rocking. Finally, after a few minutes, he glanced up at the young salesman and said, son, I don't need your book. I already know that I can farm 10 times better than I am. That story is kind of what Jesus was saying to us in the gospel today. The farmer was capable of farming better, but he lacked the commitment to do so. The rich man was capable of doing more, but just kept keeping the commandments, but he too lacked the commitment to do it. Today's gospel makes it painfully clear that there's more to Christianity than keeping the commandments. I remember hearing the story of a young man went before Jesus at the pearly gates, and Jesus said, I'm sorry, but I can't let you in. And the young man said, but I didn't do anything. And Jesus said, Precisely. You didn't do anything. How true, and yet how sad, right? Today's gospel makes it painfully clear, as I said, that there's much, much more to Christianity than keeping the commandments. Jesus reviewed for the rich man the commandments, which are the starting point of Christian life. The man said he had kept them all to a T. He hadn't done one thing in his whole life to hurt anyone. Jesus admired him for this, but Jesus made it clear to the rich man that Christianity is more than just the negative commands of thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not cheat, thou shalt have a more positive attitude. Jesus said to the rich man, in effect, granted, you never hurt anyone, But what have you done to help anyone? Have you ever used your wealth to feed any hungry, to clothe the naked, to shelter the homeless? It was at this point that the rich man saw how sadly his life had been in comparison to what Jesus wanted. So Jesus held out to him a challenge, saying, in effect, if you want to follow me, change your vision of life. Stop viewing goodness negatively as not hurting anyone, and start viewing it positively as helping your brothers and sisters who are around you. Do this, and you will find happiness in life and in the life to come. This brings us to ourselves tonight. Many of us, or some of us at least, are probably think we're now like the farmer on the porch. We're rocking, but we're just not making any headway, are we? We know how to be Christian, 10 times better than we are doing right now, but we lack the commitment to do it at times. We are like the rich man in today's gospel. We have kept the commandments too, but we haven't yet begun to reach out as generously as we could or should to the naked, to the needy, and to the hungry. The way to seek God's help is not merely ask him in prayer. We should do this, of course, but we should also do something more. We should take the first step to help ourselves. We should reach out to someone in need, even if it's only in a small way. It is said, if we take a step toward helping someone, take a step toward doing Jesus' work, he will take 10 steps toward us and help us to do it better. Today's gospel is not an invitation to make a great journey all at once. It's merely an invitation to take that first step. Between now and Christmas, pick something that you're going to do to help someone. Make someone feel good. A lot of times I do it as a penance for a confession. It doesn't have to be money. All I say is, during the next week, why don't you do a random act of kindness? Make someone feel good. When they pick it up, they say, gee, that was nice of him to do that. And I try to do any number of those every week and so on. Somebody that's sick, whatever it is, and it doesn't cost that much. It might not cost anything. Maybe it's a phone call, an email, a visit, whatever it is. But just start doing little things. If you do one a week, you're going to be 52 times older than you were last year. Watch the mathematics for this mathematics major. You've got to watch me. But it's an invitation. Take that first step. And after the first step, Jesus is going to help you take the second, third, and fourth. What is Jesus concerned about wealth? A couple of ideas. Are we caring for one another or just ourselves? Are we aware that our earthly possessions mean nothing compared to what God means in our lives? Do we find happiness in things rather than in God and in love and in service to others? I don't know about you, but when I do something nice for someone, I feel good. I had a bad habit, my mother said, early on, because when Christmas Eve came, I was more excited about watching my mom and dad open what I had gotten them than opening the pile that was sitting there for me. You know, some of the brothers and sisters said, what's the matter with you? Always said, my joy is watching those two. I may have told you the story. My first gift to my dad, I felt like $1 million. I saw a catalog with my mom, and it was a screwdriver set where you had one handle and all different size pins that went in it, so it was a whole set of screwdrivers in one little package. Well, my dad opened it up, and you thought you had sent him to Europe and back. Anybody that came in the house, he said, look what my son gave me this year. Isn't that something? And you know, when they retired and moved, that was one of the things that came with him, and I saw it in the garage till he passed away. Just, you know, I don't know, what, $7.29 maybe? My mom probably had to dig to find the money for me because I didn't have that much. But it's just, it's the little things that mean so much. What do we find things? Check the bulletin every week. There's any number of things in there. Listen to the announcements this weekend. The St. Vincent de Paul group is starting to collect for Thanksgiving baskets. Start. The Knights of Columbus are outside after Mass, and they are having their Tootsie Roll contest, or not contest, but program. And that goes for a worthy service. And It says, don't forget to sign up for our trunk or treat night, which is coming up. When I came to St. Catharines, I thought, what can that be? Well, I had to come over one night and find out for myself. It is a fun night. Check with the local charity organizations. There are things being said all the time. I believe the nights are either outside or right out there where you can tackle them tonight. But there's always things we can do if we just listen. And it doesn't have to be a lot. Try the little thing of doing one thing a week. Come to my confession, and I will give you it as an assignment. No, I'm just kidding. But it is. It's so important. And our Lord said, yes, love him, which is our prayers. You're being at Mass tonight and so on. But then love others. And unless we work at it, we can really slack on that second thing. My brother Ronnie, who just passed away, and I thank you for your cards and notes and sympathy and so forth. But he did an awful lot for others. He would, when he retired, he would volunteer to go and help farmers. They wanted to pay him, and he said, no, give more to your church. And that's how he spent his retirement. He had been a farm boy, and that was something he was handy with, but he did that just about till the day he died. So I'm sure God is rewarding his goodness. So that's where we are. That's what I saw in the readings tonight. I hope it sends a message that you can be comfortable with something I said. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.